Welcome to the Fair Parenting Podcast, where we cover people's stories, ideas, and the progress towards fair parenting.
Welcome to the podcast. In this episode, I want to talk about something that may for first seem outside family law, but it isn't, and I'll draw it all together at the end. I want to talk about incentives. Many of us have seen incentives play out badly in family court, with solicitors milking legal aid, milking parents, parents making false allegations to get legal aid, prolonging cases, and taking a case that could resolve amicably and blowing it out of the water to the benefit of lawyers and to the detriment of parents and children. In recent episodes, I've mentioned Peter Diamandis' Moonshots podcast regularly. He interviews all sorts of ambitious people in science, technology, and all sorts of fields. One of those is Elon Musk, who has disrupted the space industry partly by disrupting the way it was set up to use something called cost-plus contracts. These contracts occurred when NASA outsourced work, and Elon Musk actually sued NASA over the way it was outsourcing work. You might think that if you're in an industry with few players, rocking the boat in this way is not a good idea, because if you annoy NASA, your market may shrink drastically. However, Elon Musk is very capable, obviously. He's somewhat controversial these days, but whether you like him or not, he's obviously very capable. And perhaps he has insights and capabilities that a lot of us don't, because he sued NASA and won, and he now gets billions of dollars of business from them. What exactly is a cost-plus contract? I'm going to come back to that shortly, but firstly I want to discuss somebody else who's done something similar. Palmer Luckey has been on a couple of episodes of the Moonshots podcast. He's an interesting character for many reasons, one of which was he was homeschooled. And homeschooling is something I want to cover in other episodes, because the education industry is another one that is discussed in the Moonshots podcast. And it's about to get disrupted very heavily with things like homeschooling and AI, and how children are taught is about to change big time. So I'd like to do some episodes on that. Palmer also created the Oculus headset. I don't know much about that. I've never used one because I'm not a games player or into VR or AR. But he's obviously a clever guy, and that's an understatement. He's now created his latest moonshot, a defence company called Anduril, because he sees that America no longer has a massive edge in defence technology. He says that the technology in a phone in some cases is better than the military uses. Palmer has also attacked cost-plus contracts too, because the defence industry, like the space industry, revolves around a tiny number of companies using these contracts, and like the space industry, it results in poor value and suboptimal results. Both industries have few suppliers and little competition. I'm not saying they're a cartel, there's just little choice. If you've got a couple of companies in a market, it's often not as good as if you've got 10 or 11. On the Moonshots podcast, Palmer talks at length about the pitfalls of cost-plus contracts, and it's really eye-opening. I encourage you to listen to him. I'll put some links to those episodes in the show notes. I found it really thought-provoking. I'd like to put the clips in my podcast, but obviously I can't for copyright reasons, so there'll be links in the show notes. It's staggering to learn what happens in the defence industry, and it was news to me, and I bet it's news to a lot of people who are paying for these contracts, i.e. the taxpayers. Just like the family court, it's happening right under our noses, but it's kept quiet and it cost us dearly. One example Palmer gives is the F-35 combat plane. You might need to sit down for this bit. The budget for developing that plane exceeded $1 trillion. The way cost plus works is basically you get your cost plus a fixed percentage. So if a certain piece of technology is needed by a big defence supplier, and a little company already offers that, the big defence supplier makes more money if they reinvent the wheel and say, okay, we want something that does that, we're going to take 5 years to develop something similar to that, and then we're going to add a fixed profit margin onto it, hence the term cost plus. Doing business like this means things take longer, they're hugely more expensive, and there's literally no incentive to be quick, efficient, and low cost. It's causing America to lose its edge in some areas, and Palmer Luckey says developing defence products without cost-plus contracts will help drive innovation. Another example from the space industry, SpaceX took people who had knowledge of the car industry, and they were able to apply techniques from that to space, and it resulted in incredible cost savings over what a space engineer would have spent. That kind of thinking outside the box works so well, but the big defence companies and big space contractors simply have no incentives to do that, and change will not magically happen on its own. Just like the law profession, change, there's no incentives to change there, and the big law firms are not going to change on their own. Cost plus contracts simply incentivise projects to take longer and to do things in the most expensive way, which is the worst for innovation and the taxpayer. Palmer Luckey does explain that he doesn't think people in these industries get up every day and say, let's fleece the taxpayer, but the incentives have a natural way of steering companies to make decisions that make it seem as if they are performing that way. Cost plus contracts are a terrible business model. As an alternative, companies could develop what the market needs, and if the market wants to buy those products, they make money. And this is what Palmer Luckey does now in the defence industry. And he says that's the way markets work in almost every other industry. Defence and space, two massive strategic industries where cost-plus contracts have been challenged and disrupted recently by far-sighted, capable entrepreneurs who can deliver better for taxpayers and innovation. I wonder if cost-plus contracts are rife across government. I actually don't know. But I really encourage you to listen to those episodes that I'll put in the show notes from the Moonshots podcast and all the other episodes, because Peter talks about similar problems in the medical industry, which is his focus, or one of his focuses, and those three people put the issues a million times better than I do. But I've just tried to give you a brief explanation so that you can go and explore those podcast episodes in the Moonshots podcast if you'd like. And I'll put links in the show notes. Okay, what does this all have to do with family law? Like those other industries I've just talked about, it's often paid for by the government in terms of legal aid, funding of courts, judges, experts, advisors, etc. Here's a quote from Sir James Munby, former president of the Family Division. He said, "We know that people game the system. The classic example of that is you get legal aid if there's an allegation of domestic abuse. Many of us know if one parent makes a false allegation, they can get legal aid and off you go. The lawyers are on a taxpayer-funded gravy train. A simple case can then take 4 years with lawyers laughing all the way to the bank. You may have been on the wrong end of this kind of situation. Legal aid costs a fortune. We see barristers and solicitors who must know their clients are abusive. But incentives are just too much and too juicy for these people to turn down. Why not just do another hearing or five? Even in cases where both parties are paying privately, this can happen. I'm not saying these lawyers are corrupt, or trying to fleece the taxpayer, or trying to harm good parents who pay their own legal fees. What I am saying is, even if you were to say these lawyers have no bias, no vested interest, no nastiness, no lack of empathy, no humanity, if you were to just ignore the possibility of any of that, the incentives of the family court law game, or lawfare as it's sometimes called, are clear. Lawyers can make a mountain out of a molehill and run things as long as they can, as expensive as they can, as nasty as they can. And if you doubt any of that, I would just say, talk to people who've been in the family court, or listen to the three people I've just mentioned in the Moonshots podcast. They talk about three gigantic industries: medicine, space, and defence. Why would the same kind of incentives not play out just as badly elsewhere, such as in law? Human nature is the same, whatever the industry. If you create incentives that do not reward people for being quick, amicable, and low cost, you will likely get bad outcomes. I think simple solutions are the best. In the reform episodes of this podcast that I published in episodes 2, 7, 32, and 33, there are solutions that are simple, low cost, and would work. We need to make the system incentivize good behavior and to reward quick, amicable, low cost outcomes, or even outcomes that avoid court altogether. Another way to put it is, you don't need bad people to make systems bad. You just need bad incentives. Change the incentives and the behavior of people in the system will change for the better automatically. That's all I wanted to say today. The Moonshots podcast by Peter Diamandis is fantastic. I'll put links in the show notes. It's great to see the people out there in various industries making changes and making the world better. And in that podcast, they sometimes talk about law as well. The fundamental point is change the system, change the incentives, and we can improve outcomes for good parents and children. Okay, that's all I wanted to say for now. Take care and see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Please join us next time.